If you will, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. There's a story here in Luke about a blind man. That's what I was telling the brethren. There was a friend of mine called me one day. A mutual friend had written a book. And he said, "Have you read his book?" And I said, "No, I want to." I had a desire to read his book, but I hadn't bought it, hadn't read it. And my buddy George said, "Kevin," he said, he talks about you in there. He said, there's a story of you in that book." And he told me what chapter it was in. And you know what happened that evening? I bought that book and I read it. I wanted to see what he had to say. And it sold fairly well. And there's a lot of bad things he could have told. I want to know what was in there. He was kind to me. He was generous. But if there was a story about me, I'd want to know it. In the Lord's wisdom, he gives us these scriptures. He tells us of Christ. And he tells us of our brethren in there that are at times weak, very weak. David, Peter, every one of them. And he tells us times they're strong. And he comforts us. And he uses all that. That way we don't get too low to where we despair. And we know that others have done that. And we look to what they did. They were pointed to Christ, weren't they? When we get low, we're pointed to Christ. But I was reading this text here in Luke 18. And I thought, man, that's a story of me. That's something I've experienced. And it was there to comfort me. But I want us to read this together. Luke 18 and verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, as Christ come through, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Always take note in the scriptures when it says a certain place or a certain man. A certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. That's what we read this morning. Many times, faithful men and women that know the Lord rebuke other people because they approach the Lord not to suit them, or they do something that's different, or they're rough around the edges, or they're too polished. They rebuke them. I pray. I never bring reproach on this gospel. That's a fear I have. But I also pray I'm never a stumbling stone. I hope I never keep a man or a woman from coming to Christ for any reason. Any reason. What was that man's response? There in Luke 18:39. "But he cried so much the more, Son of David, have mercy on me." Lord made him persistent. "And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." There's a few things when I read this passage of Scripture that just stood out to me. It was my experience. And as I looked at it, and the Lord blessed me with it, I realized that's the experience of the Lord's children. Every one of us. So what were these things? First thing was, there was a need. That certain blind man sitting on that roadside begging, he was in need. No one had to tell that man he was blind. He was physically blind. He knew it. And it was so altered, so changed his life that he had to depend on others. He had to beg just to be able to have enough money to live on. He was helpless. And that's a good place to be. It's good when the Lord brings us down, makes us helpless. A certain man was begging because he was physically blind. But that wasn't his problem. There was a time I had eye surgery when Jaylee was a little baby, and for 3 days I couldn't see. And you talk about changing my life. That was a difference. I needed to see. But I could adapt to that. There's people that function in this world every day that's blind. But that wasn't my true need. I wanted to physically see, but I was spiritually blind. I need to spiritually see. That's my true need. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4 and verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, this good news is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For, because of that, because Satan blinds the minds of men, and we looked the other day, in this heart, who can know it? I don't know my own heart. Because of those reasons, we preach not ourselves. We don't preach man. I don't tell you to look to me. I tell you to look to Christ. I don't tell you to look to yourself. I tell you to look to Christ. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Blinded the minds. That's what Satan did. The mind in the New Testament means the whole of me. All of me. By nature, we're blind to see ourselves as we truly are. And because of that, we're blind to see Christ in His glory. But through Him giving us sight, giving us spiritual eyes, we see ourselves as we are, that need, worthless, wretched. And we see Him as He is, holy, lifted up, seated on the right hand of God, ruling everything. We're made to see things which are not seen. Those spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, things that are eternal. Look down in verse 18, 2 Corinthians 4:18. So while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for these things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If it was something physically that needed to be seen, that blind man would have been in trouble. But it was a thing that's unseen. That's eternal. That's what he needed to see. That's what he needed to give eyes. Are you interested in seeing those things? I am. That's the things I want to know of. That's the things I want to learn. This blind beggar was. So first off, he had a need. Secondly, he had an interest. Someone that has a need, has a sinful heart, is going to have an interest to do something, have something done about it, isn't it? I'll just read our text. Stay there. Luke 18:36 says, hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. He wanted to know what this commotion was. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 27. Now, angel came to Paul and told him to go to the desert. And this is what happened. Acts 8:27 said, and he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither. That's what we saw last week. Paul said, I'm ready to preach the gospel. The power of God unto salvation. The Spirit told Paul to go there, and Paul ran. He and like the apostles that immediately, when they were called, they straightway left the boat. They immediately dropped their nets. The Spirit said, go, and he ran, didn't he? I hope I can run. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? You know what that means? He was reading out loud. It's good to read out loud. He was reading out loud. He said, you know what that means? And that eunuch said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. When Philip got up there, that man had a desire. He had an interest to know these things. And he didn't tell him what those scriptures were about, did he? Philip told him who those scriptures were about. That Jesus. Look down at verse 35. So then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He didn't tell him, say, just open your Bible there and we'll keep it and that'll allow us to talk about Jesus. He went to that scripture, showed him what he just read, and he didn't understand. He said, no, buddy. He said, this here means, this here's about Christ. This here's about our Savior. And he showed him. Once we're born again, given life, that new spirit has discernment. You can't stand to hear lies about someone you love. If someone came and told lies about my wife, we're going to have a problem. If someone tells lies about the Lord, I have that same burn inside of me. Don't want to hear it. I have a desire to hear the truth and desire to hear the truth proclaimed. But do we know everything? We understand that all these scriptures are about the Lord and we just stop learning. So I have the answer key. Did that desire go away? If the apostles were here today, I would want to ask them some questions and sit down and listen. They knew, didn't they? They better way of saying it, they know now. They fully know now. I want to tell you what these great men, used of God, said. Christ gave the parable of the wheat and tares, right? And after several parables, he said, those that have ears, let him hear. And after he sent the multitudes away, Matthew 13:36 says, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him. These great men. And Lord just told them, if you have ears, hear. And they said, declare unto us this parable of the tares of the field. Oh, it comforted me. I don't understand everything. If I ever stand up here and say I know everything there is about these scriptures, you better sit down and have a talk with me. If anybody else does, I wouldn't heed them. Those great men, they said, tell us what that meant. That was humbleness, wasn't it? They knew they had a need and an interest to come to him. And you know what the Lord told them in verse 37? He answered them. He came to them and told them what it meant. God in human flesh preached to those men. That's powerful, isn't it? We looked at last time. He said, I must leave that comforter may come. Nothing's changed. That comforter still comes. But at the time, it was Christ in the flesh. He spoke to them directly. Those apostles, they had to see him in the flesh, didn't they? He left, and now through that Holy Spirit, through the comforter, he uses weak, sinful, wretched men, like this one you're looking at, to tell you of him. To preach not myself, but to preach Christ. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed from Adam till then to now. That poor needy man, that blind man here, that commotion, he wouldn't know what was going on. And he shouted out. He asked his people, what does this mean? He asked them what it meant. Look there in our text. We'll look at Luke 18, verse 37. He asked what it meant, and they told him, comma, that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. That Jesus. They didn't tell him that Jesus passed by, the fact of Jesus is passing by. They told him, when he asked what it meant, they told him what it meant, that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. He's the one prophesied of old. Every picture, every type in the Old Testament declared that Jesus, the Son of God, that Savior. And it was all according to the Scriptures, wasn't it? That was a miracle. What happened this weekend there in Rescue was a miracle. What happened here today, if the Lord uses my weak words, if he puts power in them in your heart, and you rejoice or are comforted or you're offended, it doesn't return to him void, does it? If it's his word going out, it's a miracle. That we treated as such. Clay brought that up. Each one of us men studied this weekend. We all stayed in the house together. And we'd break off, study, and we'd come visit, and we'd break off and study. Not once did we ask each other, hey, show me your notes. What are you preaching from? Not once. And John wasn't even there with us. And you know whatever message? We all had the same message. We all preached the same thing, didn't we? Because the theme was the same. The object of that message was the same. That was miraculous, wasn't it? But Clay was saying that, and I had already topped it. I told him that I'm almost going to steal it. Tell him I stole it from him. But do we treat it as such? If Christ was standing here in the flesh, and we knew that He was going to be here, would we be here? Would we be attentive? That's what's happening if He uses me. If He turns your hearts on, if He gives you those spiritual eyes to see and those spiritual ears to hear, a heart to understand. That's what's happening. Is that my opinion? Like Bob says, I don't have an opinion. I'm here to state fact, isn't it? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11. We've looked at this before, about last year, but it's good to look again. I want to hear that old story, don't you? Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus was made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John, speaking of John the Baptist, had heard in the prison the works of Christ, He sent two of His disciples and said unto Him, Art thou He that should come, or do we look for another? Many say, and I've commented on this before, John the Baptist, he was training up those two disciples, and that's probably true. But John the Baptist, outside of Christ, was the greatest man to walk the earth, wasn't he? But you know what he was? He's a man, fully. Not the God man, he's just a man. He was worried, he's in prison. He needed comfort too, didn't he? And you know what the Lord did? There in verse 4 it says, Jesus answered them saying, Go unto John again, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. He heard. They saw these miracles take place that Christ is about to list. They saw those blind people physically receiving sight. They saw those deaf people physically being able to hear. People with the palsy, paraplegics, quadriplegics, physically being able to get up and walk. They saw those, but they heard something, didn't they? They heard that glorification of Christ after those miracles were performed. They heard that spiritual miracle that took place. But the Lord lists those miracles, and here they are. He says, verse 5, the blind receive their sight. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up. If we saw any of those happen, that's a miracle, isn't it? And the poor have the gospel preached to them. It's the miracle of the poor being preached to. Is that a miracle? Christ said it was. Are we poor? Am I a poor, needy sinner? Christ says I am. Scriptures say I am, don't they? But what do we need? What do our interests need to be on? It needs to be on that Jesus. The preaching of Him. That's the only thing that'll help. So what happens when a sinner has that good news preached to him? So he had a need. He had an interest. He was preached to. The sinner cries for mercy. I cried for mercy. And our text said, and he cried, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. As we've looked at before, last month, the Canaanite woman, when she approached the Lord, we'll turn there again. Matthew 15. If you're Matthew, turn over to Matthew 15. Good for me to read it again. I hope it's good for you to read it again. This blind man, did he approach the Lord the right way? He said, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And I read this text, and if you weren't here last month, I commented on it briefly. But this Canaanite woman approached the Lord and said, Have mercy on me, Lord. And he ignored her. Boy, that stood out in my mind from a young age. What if I approach the Lord, He ignores me, you know? Why would He do that? Let's read it. Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. That sounds just like that blind man, doesn't it? But her sentence continues, her thought continued. Said, My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She had a reason he had to have mercy on him. Something was wrong. He owed her. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. There they are again. Our brethren, like me, getting in the way. But he answered and said, and he's speaking to his disciples, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. If you have a reason that the Lord needs to deal with you, you ain't lost. Verse 25, Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered her and said, It's not meat for the children's bread. Let's take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She said, Oh, he called him Lord, but said she just needed help. Like we looked at last time, there's a difference between being helped and being saved, isn't there? She didn't just beg for mercy. She didn't need saved. She just wanted some help. And he said, It's not meat to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And now here, now this lines up better with that blind man begging. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She said, You are truth and I'm a dog. You know what the result? Did he ignore her? Did he get on to her? He said, Oh woman, great is thy faith. that was a quick turnaround, wasn't it? He can do that. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And on top of that, that was the spiritual miracle. Here's the physical one that goes with it. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. We call on that one who has authority and power to grant mercy. Don't we? That Jesus. David Edmondson sings some specials. I'm going to try my best to get a recording of them. But he writes songs as well. And he wrote a song called If Thou Wilt. And if I can, I'll get a copy of it and share it with you. But this is the verse he got a song from. It said, And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleaned. Man didn't come with a knowledge of Scripture. He didn't come knowing a lot of doctrine. He didn't come anything in him. He hadn't attained a certain level. He just said, if you will, you can make me clean. He knew who the Lord was. He knew he was able. And he said, Lord, if you will, you can. And he was cleansed immediately. Look back in our text, Luke 18. Someone has a need. They have an interest. The gospel's preached to them. They come to the Lord. They beg for mercy. And you know what always happens? Mercy's provided. Luke 18:40 says, And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight. When sinners are called, they are given sight immediately. Spiritual eyes immediately. Now, like we'd looked at before, if thou wilt. You may not understand what you see, but you'll know that you see. You may not know that what you're hearing, but you know that you hear. You may not know really what you believe, but you know that you do believe in Him, don't you? And then right away, straightway, it said immediately he received his sight. And just like those nets of straightway leaving the boat, straightway leaving the nets, immediately cleansed of leprosy, immediately given sight. It's right then. And you know what he did after all those things happened?
He followed Christ.
It says in verse 43, and immediately he received his sight and followed him. Just like Philip was going on that road between Jerusalem and Gaza, he was told to go, he went. He didn't know why. The angel didn't tell him what he was going to be doing. They said, go down there. He got up and went, didn't he? Do you know why he did that? He believed God. From an early age, I never had a problem believing that there was a God. But did I believe God? I never had a problem believing man fell in the garden. But did I have I had a problem believing I fell in the garden. Philip believed God. I want to believe God. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I want to hear his voice and I want to follow him. But what do we do after we all those things and we follow him? It says there in Luke 18:43, and immediately received a sight and followed him, glorifying God. He said, well, I want to follow the Lord. I want to follow Jesus. And what would Jesus do? Glorify God. You want to follow Christ? Glorify God. If as the scriptures say, follow me as I follow Christ. Don't follow a man that's not glorifying Christ. Christ glorified God, didn't he? We follow him and we glorify God. And after that, it says, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. The others, those in attendance, they didn't praise that man for walking the aisle. They said, oh, you just learned, memorized so many scriptures. No, they praised, they glorified God too for that sinner, didn't they? Isaiah 25 says, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away all tears from off all the faces, and rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. We'll rejoice in his salvation when we're saved, and we'll rejoice in his salvation when someone else is saved, won't we? We rejoice together. Christ said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 90 and 9 just persons which need no repentance. See, he says the heavens rejoice. The saints in heaven rejoice when a sinner comes to know Christ. The angels do. It says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over God, of God, over one sinner that repents. Heavens rejoice, angels rejoice, people that already know Christ rejoice, and that sinner especially. This sinner especially, when I heard Christ for the first time, when I was given those eyes to see, I rejoiced in him. And everybody else rejoiced around me, didn't they? And nothing changes. All these people that rejoiced, they had some experience, didn't they? They walked with the Lord for a while. Same rejoicing, don't we? I pray the Lord will keep us. I hope he'll give us and let us see our need. We're needy. I just hope he lets us know it. I hope he makes us know we're needy. Makes us beg for mercy. Preaches to us. And then I hope we rejoice in him for ourselves, and I hope we rejoice in our brethren from here on. And every new brethren that comes, and if they come, they're going to be rejoicing. That'll cheer us up even more, won't it? That'll warm your heart, bringing your remembrance of that first love, which he keeps us with. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us an example what we experience. Thank you for letting us know we have brethren and we're not alone. Lord, they go through the same thing we go through, and what a comfort you make them to us. You're so kind to us, Lord, so generous in all these things on this earth, in our trials and our joys, and always been so kind, so generous to us, Lord, and how much more so in that salvation. You sent your Son for us, and he was victorious. His work was effectual. He's accomplished redemption. Our warfare is over, Lord. Let us rejoice in Christ. Let us rejoice in our salvation we have through Him, and let us rejoice with our brethren whenever You save one of Your elect. Lord, call out Your sheep from this area and add to the church daily as You see fit. Give us the grace to be thankful in all things in that. For Christ's name's sake. For His name that we ask it. Amen.